they have been proven scientifically. Yeah, you're right.
So they haven't been yeah, exactly. So how could you declare that they're true?
Because they've been scientifically proven. Yeah, that's why they're theories.
No, they haven't.
No, yeah, they have, actually. True. That's why they are scientific theories.
No, no, no. So you don't know the definition of what a theory is.
I know what the implication of a theory is, and so do you. You just deny it in your unrighteousness. To deny it would mean that you deny that you exist.
So I believe Big Bang is probably somewhere close to accurate. Evolution.
Yeah, it's been proven scientifically.
I have some problems with evolution, and that's not because I'm like a Christian and believe in, you know, intelligent design or anything like that. Just more of what we see in the fossil records and adaptation. Not that evolution isn't a thing, but exactly how it happens over millions of years versus adaptation happening over a very short period of time during like cataclysmic events and things like that. And again, this is why it's theory, because we haven't worked it all out yet. So how can you declare that something is true?
Because it's been scientifically proven. That's what a scientific theory is.
No. So like
Meepers, stop. You just talked for like 3 straight minutes. I can prove that according to you, a scientific theory is something that you regard as being true. It's incredibly easy. It can be done in one question.
All right, come on.
Do atoms exist?
We've actually taken pictures of molecules and atomic bonds. So
literally have not.
Yeah, no. We literally have.
We can take pictures. We can take pictures. Okay, well, we have taken pictures of the expanding universe and extrapolated its age. We can take pictures of the outline of the electron cloud of atoms, but the nucleus is literally like on the order of a trillion times smaller than that. Protons and neutrons have never been observed. Electrons have never been observed. They never will be observed. Do atoms exist?
Again, we've taken pictures of molecular bombs.
Meepers, you are dodging the question. So I'll ask a slightly more high resolution question. Is atomic theory true?
No, it's theory. There's so much we don't know about the quantum.
So you just said that we have taken pictures of atoms. So atoms exist. You affirm the existence of protons, neutrons, and electrons?
We've taken pictures.
Meepers. Jeepers creepers, meepers. Will you answer my question, please? Do you affirm the existence of protons, neutrons, and electrons?
Well, no, not necessarily. We used to think electrons.
Yeah, you do. Like, now, you just have to say no now, but okay.
So, again, we probably have more data, but it's still a theory, right?
Like, yeah, it's been proven scientifically.
No, that's the point of a theory, is there's still stuff unproven about it, right? Like,
there are things about it that are proven, such as protons, neutrons, and electrons existing, scientifically proven. The atom exists. We're not going to get new data that shows, oh, yeah, actually, atoms don't exist. It was actually just unicorn queef dust the whole time.
Probably not. What we may find
atomic
out
theory
is
true. Atoms exist.
No.
In the same vein, evolution is true. The Big Bang is true.
What we may find out is that atoms don't operate exactly how we thought they did. Right?
Then they would still exist.
Yeah. We'll discover new things about them.
Yep.
Right?
But they would still exist. Yep. We don't know. Are you aware of the shoreline paradox?
No, I'm not familiar with that. Go ahead, explain it to me real quick, break it down.
This is just going to be off memory, but basically it's like literally impossible to quantify exactly what the shoreline of any like country or whatever is. So therefore the UK doesn't exist because we will never know, its shoreline. Like its perimeter or whatever.
Well, the UK is an arbitrary drawing of borders by humans, right?
Well, it doesn't exist is the thing, because nobody knows what its shoreline distance is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like saying Ukraine existed But if Russia took over a bunch of its borders
and
Ukraine exists now?
It's actually right? like saying if we discover something new about atoms, it means that what we knew about atoms or atoms existing isn't true, which is false.
Well, again, there's a lot of stuff we're unsure of about the quantum world, right? We're...
Jeez, dude, you got a brown paper bag? You having some fun on a Saturday?
I just got a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich from a great Brooklyn deli, and I'm kind of excited to dive into it. My apologies on that.
Oh, nice. Okay, so what you were saying earlier about evolution, you think evolution... How old do you think the Earth is?
Oh, I mean, more than likely billions of years old, right?
Like, oh, okay.
We don't know exactly. I think the estimate's like 4.3 billion, right?
A little more. So you think you were saying you think evolution is driven by cataclysmic events?
Well, I think we have adaptation that exists in species, right? And then events
No, not really.
We don't have adaptation that occurs in species?
Adaptation is not a thing that happens, no. It's just
really?
it's a description of the organism that can only come as a result of analyzing the organism on the genomic level, which if you want to try to understand in any kind of terms in which adaptation leads to change, you're always going to start with evolution and then just describe their adaptations. The adaptations cannot be passed down because they're not a thing. They are a consequence or an emergent observation, whatever you want to call it, of genetics and evolution.
So when we look at a species, we look at its genetics, right? You don't see adaptation to environments occur in species.
Adaptation can't be passed down because, well...
Yeah, I agree, right? And adaptation is not evolution, right?
Adaptation just isn't a thing that happens at all.
I think we're way too far apart on this. I think you need to look into adaptation because
I
believe you're wrong.
We are
way too far apart on this to even begin to debate it.
Okay, you can tell me how it is. Like, what is an adaptation? I've done this many times before, so.
I apologize. Can I rejoin you in like 4 or 5 minutes?
I'm happy to announce that I can now offer signed copies of both of my books. This is because I've reopened my merch store where you can get your very own Spanky t-shirt and more. If you don't know, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions is a collection of responses to about 100 of the most common anti-scientific tropes. The book is meticulously detailed, it's been fact-checked by real scientists, and it's written in a clear and easy to understand way. Evolution, the Big Bang, creationism, flat earth, all of that plus more is in there. Facts That Aren't True is a collection of over 150 commonly held beliefs that are not true. Each claim has a story behind it. You'll learn the history behind the claim, the science that disproves it or partially supports it in some cases, and lots of side stories and tangents. Categories include the human body, history, religion, animals, nature, language, and a hodgepodge of miscellaneous facts that aren't true. So if you want to be equipped to handle the misinformation that you see me tackling here every day, get a copy of one or both of those books for yourself. Thank you.
Sorry about that break. I had to take that phone call real quick.
Don't worry about it.
So yeah, adaptation. We see adaptation in the genetic world. A cactus's ability to store more water, or polar bear's fur being slightly thicker, right? Like these are adaptations. They're not evolution. But you're saying adaptation.
No, they totally are. They totally are. Where do those adaptations come from?
adjusting to an environment. Environmental factors cause adaptation to better suit the animal or the genetic line to exist in that environment.
You have a Lamarckian view, which is actually super common of what's going on. So let's take a hypothetical. Let's say we take a species of, it'd be a little bit better to pick a wild animal. Let's say we take like some camels, right? And then we just dump these camels in the Arctic somewhere. Now, assuming they don't all die, we can kind of guess how they're going to change over time, right?
Yeah, go on.
Right. So you would expect them to get like shaggier coats, for example, right?
Yes. And this does happen.
Okay. Yes. But how does that happen is the question, because it's not like the camels that we dump there just over the course of a couple years get longer hair. No, the camels that we dumped there are going to die looking exactly the way they did when we dumped them there. And their offspring are going to almost certainly look very close to the parents too. So how do they get the long fur?
Their genetics adapt to the environment, right? Like,
well, their genes have to change, and the genetic composition in the population changing over time is what evolution is.
Well, so you believe that their actual DNA is changing, because adaptation can be reverted. Adaptations can be reverted, and we witnessed that.
Like what?
There was an experiment done with a bunch of fruit flies where they showed evolution over adaptation, and essentially what had happened was I want to look it up so that I don't misquote the experiment. But over many generations of breeding these fruit flies, they changed the environment, created adaptations in the fruit flies, then reverted those by removing the environmental stimulus that caused it, but also wound up kind of proving evolution, because there was a fundamental genetic species change in these fruit flies over many generations for a small group that they continued the environmental factor that caused the adaptation, and wiped out or removed their ability to mate with anything but their those with those adaptations.
I mean, okay, it's sort of. I don't know what this study is. There are, in the short term, there are ways in which, like, if you take domesticated pigs and you go and throw them in the wild, they very quickly basically turn into wild boars. Their teeth get a lot longer and they get hairier and their morphology changes. But you
does
could
your
you
DNA could, change? Are they a different species?
Well, gene expression changes. They don't become a different species. But then if you take some domestic pink, mostly bald pigs, put them in the wild, they'll sort of turn into boars. But then if you let them do that for a while and then take the boars and put them back into captivity, you could probably breed them back into being more like barnyard swine in a few generations. So there's a kind of back and forth that can sometimes occur, because what you're doing there is observing changes in gene expression, which isn't really that much different from how some Arctic animals turn white in the wintertime and then turn brown in the springtime. Or that's about the best one I can think of, I guess.
But these are adaptations. Again, their actual DNA, their genetics, their species line don't change.
in that specific example,
adaptation. But you said that adaptation doesn't exist, but here you are proving
correct. Because what I'm describing is downstream of what's actually making it happen, which is environmental pressure changing gene expression. Because adaptations can't be passed. The adaptation is not hereditary. It can't be passed down. It's something that you describe that is downstream of what's really going on, which is genes and gene expression.
Well, and this is my understanding of evolution, the way it was explained to me by an extremely intelligent professor and his beliefs on it. You have adaptation, like you said. You said it's not passed down from generation to generation. That is not true. There is such thing as genetic memory.
Yes, but it's genetic.
Yeah. But what happens is it's passed down from generation to generation, but there's still also compatible mates that don't experience these genetic expressions. They continue to breed, and maybe it stays, maybe it doesn't. But during a time where the only mate partners all have this genetic expression, all right, and there are no mate partners that do not have this genetic expression, over time, inbreeding change their species because of these genetic expressions.
I don't really know what you mean by that specifically, but the big issue here is you have this Lamarckian view where you think the adaptation is hereditary, but it's not. That is downstream. It's downstream of what. Okay, let me give you an example.
There's a genetic memory, right? So they've done experiments with mice, right, where they ring a bell and they shock the mice, right? And then those mice have babies, and they've never been shocked, but when they ring the bell, the mice react because of a genetic memory that's passed down.
Yes,
right?
Genetic.
That is the hereditary. That is hereditary. That is the damn definition of hereditary.
Yeah, I know, but it's not an adaptation.
But you're saying
you could call it an adaptation. We are observing an adaptation. In this case, it's like an imprinting, an environmental imprinting on, because stress can modify DNA in certain ways, and in some crazy ways, it can be passed on, like the example you're giving. Where was I going with that? I was going to say something. But that adaptation or behavior or whatever isn't the thing that's passed on. It's all in the genetics. Let me give you an example of this. There were some experiments done like way back in the late 1800s. So they took mice, and what they did was, they took like hundreds and hundreds of them, and they would chop off their tails right after they were born in every single generation. Now, if you chop off the tail of a mouse, it's going to have to navigate the world slightly differently than it does if it has a tail. I don't know what rat tail, I don't know if they were rats or mice. I think actually they might have been rats.
Yeah,
I don't really know what a rat uses its tail for. Hold on. I don't really know what a rat uses its tail for, but it's going to have to adapt a little bit into its in its environment because it's now tailless. You're with me so far?
Yeah, I'm following. Go on.
Okay. So they did this over multiple generations with hundreds of rats. But what they found is no matter how many times they repeated this, every single time those rats gave birth, their offspring always had normal length tails every single time. So whatever, we deliberately are forcing and in a way an adaptation onto the mice, but it cannot be passed down. It can't be inherited in any way. The only way for any of that to actually happen, so we created like an artificial adaptation here or whatever, but it doesn't get passed down.
The only thing that is passed down is
the genes. And sometimes a slight modification in the way the genes are expressed, because genetics is wildly complicated, and the characteristics organisms have are actually caused by a symphony of all kinds of genes working together. So slight modifications of the DNA can cause modifications in the organism, in their offspring. But that's about it, I guess, actually.
The inability to force adaptation on a set of mice doesn't prove that adaptation doesn't exist. Sorry, it just doesn't, right? Like, adaptation is a very well documented and understood mechanism of genetic expression. And you're
of
saying
genetic expression, yes, but it's not part of it. It's not part of the formula of how evolution occurs.
I'm having a hard time understanding you because you're contradicting yourself. You said adaptation does not exist, but now you're admitting
I said adaptation is not a thing that happens. I might have said it also doesn't exist. What I mean by that is adaptation is not hereditary.
Actually, it is. There's genetic memory, and it's passed down, and we've proven that.
Yes, genetic. It's not an adaptation. It's genetic.
Adaptation is expression of your genetics and genome.
Yes, and if you want to understand how does one organism,
how can you disagree with it? Like you're running in.
I was
bro,
in the lost. Middle of explaining it. If you want to understand how an adaptation that one group of organisms has, if you want to understand how they got it, you don't look at the adaptations of their parents and their parents' parents and whatever, you look at their genes.
And where did they get those genes from?
Old Navy.
They get them from their parents.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so it's passed down genetically.
Yes, the DNA is passed down. The adaptation is not passed down. The adaptation is something downstream. That is caused by genetics.
The adaptation of those gene expressions are passed down hereditarily from their parents.
Yes, it is. The genes are passed down.
The expression of those genes, how those genes get expressed, is passed down.
You can't pass down an expression. An expression is downstream of the genes. I'm trying to figure out something, another example of this that has nothing to do with genetics off the top of my head.
You keep talking yourself in a certain, like, you're trying to back up a point that you double back on, right?
No,
like,
that's not happening. Exists. I promise you that's not happening.
You believe adaptation exists, and you've proven that even if it wasn't hereditary, you believe that adaptation exists, but you said adaptation doesn't exist, and that's kind of what got me on this.
Okay.
Right? So if you're willing to double back, if you're willing to double back and say adaptation exists, I'll shut the fuck up on that point. Sorry, excuse me.
You can describe adaptations, but they're not hereditary. They're not the thing that gets passed down. It doesn't help you. So do you agree?
It does.
Do you agree that sound is nothing but the motion vibrations of air molecules?
It's not necessarily air molecules, but the vibration of molecules, right? We could transmit sound without air.
Well, you can transmit it in sound, but I don't live.
We can transmit waves through other mediums besides
like water,
air,
but so I don't live in the water. I'm not a fish. So you agree that sound, as we understand it, is
you have headphones on right now, right? And we're using an electromagnetic signal to transmit that sound to the speaker. No air involved.
Okay, let me ask you a question then. What's your favorite word?
I don't have one.
Okay. So I'm going to say testicles, okay? Now, I just said that. So is testicles something that is in the air? Are there testicles in the air tonight? Are the testicles in the room with us?
What do you mean? Define in the air, right? Like,
well, I just said the word testicles, so where are the testicles? Or is it just vibrations in the air?
Well, like, I'm gonna concede to your point because I'm gonna be generous. You're not explaining it very well, but I get what you're getting at, right? You're not doing a very good job of explaining it by saying in the air. But yes,
if you get it, then I must have done a pretty good job of explaining it.
I'm really good at understanding people who are poor at articulating themselves.
So anyways, the point is, I can say testicles, and we both agree that that word, the sound that is that word, that is that idea, that is whatever, is out there. But are there any testicles in the actual air? Are there any balls in the room with us? No, it's
I have my balls in the room with me.
Me too. It's just vibrations in the air. Adaptations are just descriptions they're just, I've said this 10 times, but there's no really better way of saying it. It's just the downstream effect of genetics. So when I say testicles, there are no balls coming out of my mouth, right? That's not what's actually happening. And when we say organisms adapt and pass on their adaptations, no, they don't. There are no adaptations that are being passed down. It's just genetics.
we fundamentally disagree on this.
I can tell.
I think this is going to be one of those points that we're going to have to agree to disagree on, because we'll just keep going in circles on it. I respect your opinion, you know, that you have one and that you want to defend it. I can't agree with it. I have done enough research to convince me opposite your opinion. So no disrespect, man. I just don't think that we can come to a agreement on that.
Yeah, no problem.